following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Monday, November 22nd, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 2 hours of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. Our first hour is heard in replays and as podcast on the Normal Daily Audio Stash. You can catch that at our Stash blog, stash.normal.org, or by subscribing through iTunes. Hour two is live only, and we'll be taking your calls, comments, questions, and concerns at 2 o'clock Pacific time at 971-533-7111. Before we get to the menu for today's show, let's introduce everyone involved. First of all, the maestro, Ganja John.
Hey, Russ, how's it going?
It's going well for me. I also want to give a shout out to our good friend Dusty Destruction.
Poor guy.
For what a fantastic college football weekend it was this weekend.
It was fantastic for you.
Yeah,
but
it was
not
fantastic.
For Dusty.
Not for Dusty. I just not rubbing it in. Just making a note of it. Great college football weekend. Also, pro football weekend for me too. Turned out real well. Yeah. Brett Favre throwing an interception at home, not throwing a single touchdown pass.
And the Packers, apparently, if they play anybody, their coach gets fired.
Yeah, so. Whoever we play, if we embarrass you, your coach is out of there, baby. Also joining us in our virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon, Cannabis Gary.
You boys have way too much fun with that football.
Oh, we love the football. We love the football. We're getting ready. John and I have been saying since the beginning of the year it's going to be Ducks Broncos in the championship game. And we're going.
Yeah, we're going.
Oh, that would be so great. That would be so much fun. You'd have to stream something on that.
We'll have to stream something,
yeah,
for sure.
Definitely.
Hey, we got a full show for today. Coming up at half past the hour, we're going to talk about our cannabis community and one of the best filmmakers who is defending us out there and getting the truth out to the people. Kevin Booth joins us on today's show live. He's the man behind American Drug War, The Last White Hope, and his new movie, How Weed Won the West. We'll talk about that at half past. 45 past the hour, I'm going to talk about the religious use of cannabis. Yeah, once more into the breach, dear friends. I'm going to talk about the legal precedents and some more reactions from what has been a very fire and brimstone weekend for me. It's been hectic. Plus, an hour or two, I'm going to play you some of the voicemails that the religious believers have left me over the weekend. Tolerance and love all around. We'll get to that. But we've got our daily toker tunes coming up at 20 after. Carrie brings us some music for Roots Monday. Before that, Carrie brings us the headlines for today. So what's in the news, Carrie?
Well, today it's a pretty good day for news. We're going to cover a follow-up on a story about that CBS correspondent that was busted last October. Mm. We have an update on Mark Emery. We have so many Mark Emery fans that come and visit the chat room. And also some news out of a high school. Typically, that means bad news, but this one's pretty good.
All right. Also, I've got an update, a story that I want to tell about Montana and their medical board banning a certain type of examination for medical marijuana. This is a real interesting story. We'll get to that in our hemp headlines. All that and more coming up on Normal Show Live. This is the voice of the Marijuana Nation. Again, this first hour is podcast through iTunes. You can get it as the Normal Daily Audio Stash. Stay tuned. All sorts of great stuff coming up. Thanks for being here.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name. Just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
A follow-up story out of Washington, D.C. we have today. Howard Ehrenstein, a well-known CBS radio news correspondent, and his wife, Israeli newspaper journalist Orly Katz, were arrested back on October 1st for growing marijuana in their backyard. An anonymous tip led police to their house, where along with 11 mature plants in the backyard, they found some bagged and ready to distribute, according to the police report, cannabis, implying that the Ehrensteins were dealing the marijuana. Ehrenstein and Katz were each charged with one count of unlawful possession with intent to distribute. Sources close to the case say that the stash was most likely being used for medicinal purposes and not sold to anyone. D.C. Magistrate Judge Kimberly Knowles dismissed the drug possession charge against the couple last week without prejudice. It seems that if it was just a lucky break for the couple, as the prosecuting attorney told the judge that a government witness who was scheduled to testify in the case was not present. The attorneys for Ehrenstein and Katz then asked the judge to move to dismiss the case. The judge agreed but told the defendants that prosecutors could still call the case in the future. The government may refile the charges against the couple, ages 60 and 57, but for now they are free and clear. Washington, D.C. is one of the newest areas in the country to okay medical marijuana, but even with the new law, medical marijuana patients in the D.C. area would not be allowed to grow their own, so they still would have been in trouble.
Well, that's good news for Howard Ehrenstein and his wife. You know, to be busting the radio guy in the first place, it was kind of troublesome. And, you know, we never think that anyone should be busted for cannabis. Whether or not he was using it medicinally, 11 plants and as much as they found, well, I don't know. But still, even if he was selling to a few people here and there, it's not like they were against it. They were willing participants in the sale. He was a willing participant in the sale. Again, it just illustrates the need for us to legalize marijuana, legalize the commerce in marijuana. You know, a lot of people might think that if you're, they were shocked when this first story came out. You're like, oh, he's a CBS radio analyst. He's a CBS radio reporter, as if, you know, that's a high income position to be in, as if someone would be, you know, risking a whole lot there. He's probably doing it just to supplement his income, probably doing it just to make ends meet. There's not a whole lot of pay in radio media. Trust me on this one.
And Mark Emery has been moved to a more permanent custody in the United States. The Canadian cannabis activist and current U.S. prisoner had been held in a Seattle detention center for pretrial inmates since his trial back in May. He's now in a low-security federal prison in Georgia. Emery had been expected to be transferred to a California facility, but he is now at D. Ray James Correctional Facility in Folkestone, Georgia, more than 3,000 miles away from his home. Emery pled guilty to charges that he distributed distributed marijuana seeds to U.S. customers when he was running a seed business in Canada back in 2005. Mark's charges were conspiracy to manufacture marijuana and conspiracy to engage in money laundering. Emery had been paying taxes from his business to the Canadian government and had never been in fear of such a harsh prison sentence in his own country. The transfer process was detailed on Mark's prison blog that he writes for his wife to publish on his company's website, cannabisculture.com. Mark was taken with around 100 other prisoners to a series of tiny cells where he waited for 17 hours to be chained in leg irons and handcuffed with a stomach chain. He was then put on a bus to Las Vegas. From Las Vegas, a Con Air plane took the prisoners to Arizona, where an exchange of prisoners on and off the plane raised a number of prisoners to almost 200 that were shackled and chained together for their flight to Oklahoma. It took Emery a grueling 36 hours to be transported from Seattle to Oklahoma, where he was the only Canadian prisoner on his route. The 52-year-old activist reports that he has not seen a newspaper or been able to watch any news programs in over a month and is hungry for things like hockey scores and other normalities that are taken for granted outside of prison. His new address, the D. Ray James Correctional Facility, is a federal prison for deportable aliens that are non-U.S. citizens. It's a private prison run by the industry giant CEO Group. His wife, Jody, said Sunday that Mark is doing all right and trying to keep his spirits up as he continues to apply for a transfer to serve out his time in Canada. Mark has been in prison for 8 months now, but is hoping that he can obtain U.S. approval from both the U.S. Department of Justice and the Canadian Ministry of Public Safety that he is not a safety threat. If he can achieve the blessings of both, Mark could be approved for transfer in the next 12 months. Once transferred back to Canada, he would most likely be released on parole. He is urging activists on both sides of the border to write their elected officials to urge that his transfer request be approved.
I urge all you guys to write him because he's in an INS facility where no one speaks English and he's got to be bored.
Yeah, this is that John was telling me this before we started the show, that where they've transferred him to, hardly anyone there speaks English. Any of the prisoners speak English, and Mark's bilingual. He speaks some French. You know, a lot of Canadians speak some French, but there's only like two or three people there that speak French. So, right. God, I mean, right there, it's almost like being in solitary because you can't communicate with anyone. Yeah. What a shame this is. What a travesty of justice. And furthermore, you know, flying the guy all the way to Georgia, you know, across through Oklahoma, 36 hours on a plane. Look, I fly a lot. Flying without shackles sucks. I can't imagine being, you know, shackled up to 200 other guys and having to fly in that condition. Oh, again, it's that example of what they call diesel therapy, you know, sending the guys all around the country, trying to find a way, you know, just to break them down, just to humiliate, to burden them, you know, to make life suck, right? And furthermore, transferring the guy to Georgia, right? Is it? Are they trying to find the prison just farthest away from Jody Emery? Is that the goal here? What was Guantanamo full? Is that the problem? We didn't have enough room in Gitmo. We have to send him to Georgia. Oh my God! We have got to get Mark Emery out of prison. This is a travesty of justice. It's a shame. And one last thing, I do want to offer my, you know, my humble thanks. I am just overwhelmed in Mark's latest prison blog that he named me and praised my writings and such. And I'm honored. Beyond belief. Thank you, Mark, for that. And I will have a new piece coming up in Cannabis Culture here pretty soon.
And a story about a high school that doesn't end with kids in a hospital or a jail cell for the win. A group of high school students that attend Big Springs High School in Newville, Pennsylvania, came up with an environmentally friendly business plan that focuses on using paper made from hemp in their high school. The team was competing before a panel of business experts at the Harrisburg Regional Chambers Business Expo last week at the Farm Show Complex in Harrisburg. The expo drew almost 200 exhibitors and about 3,000 participants. There were three teams from Big Spring High School. They competed in the third annual Chamber Millennials Green Business Challenge. The team won the best environmentally friendly business plan on their team, which they named Hemp Momentum. Students on the Hemp Momentum team said they found a company in West Virginia that offers paper made from hemp. Team member Anna Remilkius said they came up with the idea because so much paper is used at their school. Hemp Momentum team member William Garland said they've already spoken to their school's administration Commission about using hemp paper. He said the plan is to get it going in the school first and then the district. Their project demonstrated how they would introduce hemp paper products into the schools instead of paper made from wood and touted the environmentally sound arguments for using hemp-based products. The judges praised all the teams who had to present business plans, budgets, goals, and marketing plans, but said that the entry from Hemp Momentum stood out because they quantified things more thoroughly. The judges are all business leaders and development specialists. The judges commented that they were most impressed with how the students demonstrated the benefits of using hemp paper versus regular paper and the amount of detail the team put into their presentation. For their first place win, Garland Ramikas, Jess Greenwald, and Rachel Hodecker each received a $500 college scholarship to the school of their choice. This is the first year a team from Big Springs has won the competition, so congratulations and good luck getting their business plan implemented.
Well, that's fantastic news. I'm glad that they went forward with that. You know, more people need to learn about the environmental issues of hemp. And, you know, when it comes to a high school perspective, you know, I get a lot of high school students that write to Normal and they want to form a Normal chapter in the high school level. And we really can't do that for lots of political reasons. But we do support, you know, young people seeking out the truth about cannabis and hemp. And being a hemp activist might be one of the best ways that these folks can get their point across at that level. All right, I've got an update that I want to get to, and this is a story that came out of Montana that I blogged on over the weekend, and this is Montana bans medical marijuana exams by Skype. This is from Helena, Montana, and the Associated Press. The Montana Board of Medical Examiners says internet-based video exams for people seeking approval to use medical marijuana don't meet the board's standards. Medical marijuana providers in the state have been connecting doctors with those seeking medical marijuana using the web video service Skype. The Montana Caregivers Network contends the video examinations are needed for people whose regular physician won't recommend medical marijuana and who can't travel. Okay. That's a kind act. That's really kind of you to, you know, want to get reach the shut-ins in rural Montana whose doctors won't help them out. But come on now. Video examinations? Look, we are asking the public to support a limited marijuana legalization on the premise that a medical examination, that we've got a doctor examining a patient and then allowing them, recommending for them to use cannabis. If we're going to ask the public to accept a Skype video chat as the medical basis for what to them is still the approval of a dangerous illegal drug, then they start to believe the whole idea of medical marijuana is a sham, right? Is it any wonder why the incoming Montana legislature, which is extremely conservative on this issue, is talking about repealing the Montana medical marijuana law, just outright repealing the whole damn thing? Because what happens in these situations is that we come to the public and we give them this message of compassion. We give them this message of people that are severely sick and disabled who, without medical marijuana, would be suffering. And I'm not saying that those people that we're seeing by Skype aren't suffering. And I'm not saying that it isn't a good thing to try to get medical marijuana to them. I'm just saying, think about how this looks to the public. Think about how this looks to people who accept the idea of a medical exam being seeing a doctor in person, having a doctor being able to, oh, I don't know, you know, examine someone. That's what they want, right? If we're going to engage them on those frames, on the frame of medical use of marijuana, then we can't go and change the definition of medical and the definition of exam to mean things that they don't understand at this point. This is why I keep saying we need to fight for the full legalization of marijuana for all people, regardless of what reason they choose to use marijuana, whether it's to alleviate a medical problem, whether it's to commune with God, or whether it's just to make a Pink Floyd laser light show a little more entertaining. If we fight for everyone's right to use marijuana for whatever reason they choose, we don't have to go through the trouble of Skype video examinations to try to skirt around or take the best advantage of a medical marijuana law. Let's just be honest with the people. I think the backlash that we're starting to see is not that people don't believe marijuana is medical. It's not that people don't believe these people are suffering or some people are suffering. It's that they don't like being lied to. With Bill Clinton, it wasn't so much that he inhaled, it's that he lied about it. right? Let's be upfront and honest with the people and say, yes, marijuana is medical. It does help people with certain severe conditions, but it's also recreational, and it's also spiritual, and it's also industrial. It's time for us to force the prohibitionists to defend what they're doing now, to prove that what they do now regarding marijuana is effective, and to justify why they're doing it in the first place. They've never been held to account for why marijuana has to be banned in the first place. It still rests on mistestimonies from the 1930s and the reefer madness of Harry J. Anslinger. Let's just put the medical aside, the spiritual aside. Let's fight for legalization for everyone.
I think it's time for us to take a recreational break.
Recreational break, absolutely. I'm all for that. We'll be back in just a second here with your Daily Toker Tunes. Kevin Booth on after that.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by Cannabis Carry in Astoria, Oregon, and CannabisFantastic.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Well, it's always good starting out the week on a Monday when we get our Daily Toker Tunes, our Roots Monday music, blues, jazz, folk, country, always good stuff. And Cannabis Carry does double duty, not just getting us our great news stories, but also getting us this great music. Carry, what do we got today?
Well, today, since our kickoff of holiday week here, I was just going to say we have much to be thankful for this week. And I'm thankful that the Manish Boys are back to deliver another dose of Righteous Blues, serving up an extra serving of delicious Delta-style blues. The latest incarnation of the Manish Boys dish out the perfect way to start our holiday week off with some Mary Jane. Their old-time blues sound keeps these little-known gems alive for a new generation of music lovers. Now, this carnation of the Manish Boys has Finis Tasby, Bobby Jones, Kirk Fletcher, Frank Goldwater, Randy Chuktoff, and they also have Willie J. Campbell on bass, Jimmy Bott on drums, and I think I got them all there. See, it's kind of a group of musicians that are all in involved with Delta Groove Studios, and they've all gotten together, and I think this group is going to stay for a while. I saw some concert dates on their website, so check out the Manish Boys, and check out this song called Mary Jane. I think you're going to love it.
I think it's number 17 of songs that we have called Mary Jane in our library. One of these days, we'll just make a mega mix of all the Mary Janes in a row. This is the Manish Boys with their version, Mary Jane.
Woo! Without that good loving now, mama, I don't feel all right. Mary Jane, Mary Jane, can't you hear me calling you? Woo. When I don't get that loving from you, baby, I feel so sad and blue.
Come on, Kirk, come on, baby. Woo!
Without your good loving, mama, I just don't feel all right. Mary Jane, Mary Jane, can't you hear me calling you? When I don't get your good loving, baby, I feel so sad and blue. Just a little bit, baby. Woo! Mary Jane, baby. Mary Jane, Mary Jane. Girl, you got to get on away from me. Mary Jane, Mary Jane. Girl, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Sad and blue. Yeah. Woo. Thank you so much.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, it's time to take a look at Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Tonight, Monday, November 22nd, Madison Normal in Madison, Wisconsin is having their normal meeting at the Wilmar Center in Madison. Tuesday, November 23rd, there's a weekly medicating event at the Phoenix Cafe in Hazel Park, Michigan. The Greater Torched Lake Area Compassion Club meets at the Alden Library in Alden, Michigan. And the Kalamazoo Area Compassion Club meets at Charlie's Place in Kalamazoo, Michigan. These are all on Tuesday night. Check out minormal.org for more details and links to all of these different events. Hemp TV is on the air in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You can call 505-880-0666 for tickets to the show Tuesday night, November 23rd. Wednesday, November 24th, the Grand Traverse Compassion Connection meeting is taking place in Traverse City, Michigan. Check out gtcompassionconnection.org for details. And of course, Thursday is Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States. We'll be taking the day off as well as Friday afterwards. We're taking the day off because there are far too many really good college football games on that day. So we will
It's a busy day.
It's a busy day for us. Some calendar notes for the future. Coming up December 8th, I will be in Astoria, Oregon, with Cannabis Carry, helping to set up the new North
North Coast Normal or working with North Coast Normal or speaking to North Coast Normal. So we'll get up there with them and give you more details next week when we have them. December 16th through 18th, I think it's 16th through 18th, we'll be at CushCon in Denver, Colorado. And this is really cool. We're doing a co-broadcast. I'm sorry, 17th through the 9th. No, it is 16th through 18th. No? 17th through 19th. 17th through 19th. Sorry about that. The 17th through the 19th will be at CushCon in Denver, Colorado. And we're doing a co-broadcast with John Doe Radio. That's right. John Doe and John Doe Radio. We will be together, broadcasting together, sharing a booth at the CushCon. So that'll be really cool. We're looking forward to that. We'll be also be streaming that live for you all weekend long, December 17th through the 19th. Also coming up, December 18th would be the Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards in Portland, Oregon. Danny Danko will be in town, and he'll be doing a special grow seminar there at the Medical Cannabis Awards. The day before, December 17th, Friday, Danny will be doing a book signing at the book signing and meet and greet at the Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon. For more details on that, check out altmedchoices.com. And for more information on all of these events on the Normal Cannabis Community Calendar, check out normal.org/calendar.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week, we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty. But we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, and the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and the tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experience of our cannabis community.
Welcome back, everyone. 33 after the hour here at Normal Show Live, and joining us by telephone is acclaimed director Kevin Booth. Kevin, welcome to the show.
What's up?
Hey, we're glad to have you back here. We had you on with your previous movie, American Drug War, the Great White Hope, and you've got this new movie, How Weed Won the West, and I thought we'd bring you back and talk a little bit about that.
Great, yeah. We're going to be at the Artivist Film Festival here in Hollywood December 2nd, 7 p.m. I can get all the Normal members, any of your listeners, in for free. So,
oh, excellent. Should
just come on out. Yeah.
Just say Normal Show Live sent you?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well.
Absolutely, yeah. Or you could go, actually, if you go, no, while we're on it, go to the Artivist website, and you need to register. If you go to, it's a ARTIVIST, Artivist.com, or just Google Artivist Film Festival. And there's just follow the links to make sure that you it'll give you a way to like get your tickets to the website.
Oh, excellent! Thank you for that. We've got the link posted in our chat room so people can get to that. Now, in American Drug War, you took a look at the underpinnings of prohibition. You had some great interviews with Freeway Ricky Ross and shown the corruption inherent in the drug war. How Weed Won the West is a little bit different of a film. What are some of the differences? What were you trying to show with your second film here?
Well, I mean, I started off doing a sequel to American Drug War, and I was going to get into the Mexican cartels. I was even going to go to an Ibogaine clinic, but it just seemed the whole fight over medical marijuana and the whole marijuana thing taking place in California was just really the tip of the spear at the time. So instead of it really being the true sequel to American Drug War, it's How We Won the West. It's almost like a slice of life in California, which seems so normal to people that live here, maybe people in where you are or in Colorado. But when I take How We Won the West and I play it to an audience, say up in Vermont or you know, somewhere in the Midwest, they think I'm from outer space. So what we take for granted is being normal, driving down the street. Oh, there's a dispensary. Everybody's just smoking weed. And, you know, every day there's stories on the news about, you know, the city council this, cracking down, Steve Cooley, you know, I just heard you talking about that. But people around the rest of the country, I mean, it's just so bizarre to them. So the purpose of How We Won the West is really just to be like a little slice of life from what it's like living in California right now, and what we all hope are the ending days of Prohibition.
Yeah, and you know, we saw a little hint of that in the World Series when the reporter from Texas is in McCovey Cove and he's going, they're smoking weed out there! And it was just a shock to them, you know. And the people, you know, the anchors back at the anchor desk are shocked, you know, but to those of us out west, it'd just be like, oh, someone's smoking weed out there, no big deal. So when you take this...
Yeah, meanwhile, people in California are more like, people are drinking beer. How outrageous.
Yeah, exactly. Now, when you take this movie, How Weed Won the West, to places like Vermont and, you know, Midwest and so on, and they react, do you think that their reaction to it is overall positive or negative? Does it help or hurt the cause of legalization, or do they look at it and go, oh, my God, we don't want that there. We don't want that here.
It's, you know, it's kind of mixed. I mean, I get the haters from this film a little bit more because I wasn't trying to sugarcoat it. If they're goofy, you know, I was trying to just show people what it's really like. And so I do get people that are on the legalization that see the film and, you know, and they go, oh, for example, I visit a grow up in the Emerald Triangle that's being run by a bunch of guys from Mexico. They've got guns. They wear masks. Now, they're not cartels. For me, I was trying to show people that look, these guys that you would just on the surface think are these evil cartel guys, let's hang out with them, let's spend the day with them. That was part of my purpose with American Drug War, was to try to go hang out with like real gangsters and show that these are just kind of normal people trying to make a living. You know, I've gotten a lot of flack from just the one scene in the movie where it shows these Mexican guys in the Emerald Triangle shooting guns in the air. I mean, people will go, your movie's horrible because it's dangerous to shoot a gun into the air. I'm like, well, but that's what they were doing, and so I filmed it. What do you want me to say? It's a documentary.
Well,
it's not a commercial.
Yeah. You know, well, there's also, you know, if someone had filmed a documentary of, Bubba's in the South having fun out at the Redneck Games, I'm sure plenty of them shoot guns in the air, too. I mean, this is – you're just showing what is, right?
Exactly. And I was trying to, like, the whole point was to show that these guys were not bad guys. They're sitting there talking about how they can put their children through college and that they're not a part of any kind of cartel, that they're just working for themselves. And, you know, I was trying to kind of crack down on the stereotype that the Office of the Drug Czar has worked so hard on trying to convince everybody that the cartels have taken over the Emerald Triangle and everywhere where you see these marijuana grows going on, like, you know, the violent Mexican cartels are behind it, which, you know, seemed to be contrary to anything that I found when I was up there.
They seem just like nice
guys to
me.
There's also this going around about how, you know, I was a part of some panel at a smoke fest months back, and one of the guys on the panel was talking about how half of the dispensaries in Los Angeles are being run by cartels. And nobody was going to check him on this, and I just looked over there and I go, what kind of facts do you have to back up such a claim? How do you walk in there and go, hey, you guys run by a cartel? No, just so happens we are. I mean, how do you even...
Don't they have to put that official Michoacan sticker on their window or something? Cartel approved! Jeez.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, I think don't these guys have better ways to make money than trying to sell a couple of 8 ounce bags of OG Kush every day? I mean, geez. I mean, aren't these guys making $1 gazillion doing their cartel business on the other side of the border?
Right. What do they need that for? Well, we're speaking with Kevin Booth, who's the filmmaker behind American Drug War and How Weed Won the West. I want to focus back for a second on American Drug War, because now we have some hindsight looking over the past couple years of how people have reacted to that. And I'm just wondering if you had it to did it have the effect you intended in making that movie? Did it get to the audiences you wanted to see it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it did have a good impact. It played on the Showtime network over 200 times, which was a real boost for it. Got seen by a lot of people, and now just did a video on demand deal where it's, you can watch the whole film now on Hulu for free, and it's going to be all over video on demand for free. And, I do believe that there'd be like little tiny things where I'm watching news stories, national news stories about the drug war, and sometimes you'll just catch a little thing where you're going, you know, that almost sounds like a quote out of a film or something like that. But it did have a little bit of effect on the national debate. And, Freeway Ricky Ross is out of jail now and doing good. And one of the sadder stories is that Celerino Castillo, he was arrested the day that American Drug War started on Showtime. They actually put a gun to his head and they were like, saw you on TV last night. And so Celerino Castillo is sitting in prison now. Mm. So it's still a long, harsh journey. But I think it's had a positive effect. And one of the cool things too is that it seems like every day I still get emails. You know, people are just slowly discovering it. So when you put something out there that's controversial, it can be slow. People don't want to accept it all at once. You know, it comes in waves.
Yeah.
But I think it's had a good effect.
I think so too. I can't tell you how many people tell me they point to it as their favorite drug war documentary, and they think it does the most unbiased and unflinching look at the harms of our drug war. And I think it's done an amazing service for everyone. Check that out on Hulu, folks. HULU.com, American Drug War. You can find it and watch it on demand. As far as How Weed Won the West, is it still showing? Where can people get a showing of this movie?
You can actually watch that on Hulu too now. We're doing the same video on demand deal with that, so you can watch it on there. But I still appreciate anybody in the Los Angeles area to come out to the screening, to just support the screening. Also, we can meet and hang out and talk. And I'm also going to be touring around the country, hopefully preparing people for the 2012 election by visiting as many normal chapters and SSDP chapters and civil rights chapters on his university campuses as possible. So if you'd like to bring me out to your university to do a presentation of the films, where it's kind of it's really more of a multimedia lecture where I use clips from the films and debates, and I'm also willing to debate people too. I love to debate people about marijuana. But my booking agent can actually set it up to where it won't cost your normal or a penny to bring me out there, and actually you can make some money off of it. So check it out.
Excellent. Yeah. Send us an email. You can send us an email here at normal, stash@normal.org, and we'll get it through to you, Kevin. Or do you have a more direct way for people to contact you?
You can always go through my main website, sacredcow.com. But, you know, I'm got a million ways. You can go to howweedwonwest.com, americandrugwar.com. Just Google my name, you can figure it out.
All right. And before we let you go, let's make sure everyone's clear on the film festival, the Artivist Film Festival, ARTIVIST. Is that right?
I don't have it in front of me. It's ARTIVIST.
There we go. Artivist, like an activist artist.
Yeah, exactly. And don't just come to my screening. It's a whole week of amazing screening, all our activist-based film. And I want everybody to come on December 3rd to Woody Harrelson's new movie, The Hempsters, premieres the night after How Weed Won the West. So December 3rd, the new movie about industrial hemp that starts off with Woody Harrelson planting 4 industrial seeds in Kentucky and allowing himself to be arrested and go to court.
Yeah. We reported on that story. That was a great story. Great civil disobedience going on there. Kevin Booth, Sacred Cow Production. Check out sacredcow.com for information on the film festival. Artivist.com. Go to Hulu. Check out American Drug War, How Weed Won the West. And let's get that message out there. Thanks so much, Kevin, for joining us again on Normal Show Live.
Absolutely. And also for any of you Bill Hicks fans out there, make sure you check out the new Bill Hicks documentary, American the Bill Hicks Story.
Oh, that's right. You know, I wanted to make sure we mentioned that, too. I'm glad you brought that up. I am a huge Bill Hicks fan. You know, he pointed out all these things decades ago, and still some people have yet to learn them. We honor Bill Hicks. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Absolutely. So I also see as many of you guys at the Artivist. Go to the website, get the tickets for free, bring as many people out for free. Let's hang out. Let's get high. Let's get drunk. Let's party. And let's get our numbers built up. I mean, I want to go out there to college campuses to help rally the troops and to help people learn how to network with their fellow normal chapters. I want all the normal chapters to really network together and really tighten these numbers up.
Absolutely. That's my goal for 2012 as well. Thanks, Kevin. We'll talk to you again sometime.
Sure, thank you so much.
All right, coming up.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for making pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook rolls all of this collective wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everybody. Got a little bit of time to talk about my weekend. Aside from some awesome college football games, Boise State 51-0, and some awesome NFL games, Green Bay Packers 31-3.
There was no duck game.
There was no
there
duck
was
game.
There was a bye.
There was a bye. So you didn't lose.
No.
Didn't lose. But aside from that, the other thing that dominated my weekend was religious talk. Oh, my goodness. You know, Alan St. Pierre posted a story up on High Times about Roger Christie and basically made 2 points. One point was that a religious use case going before the courts is likely to fail. And number two, that Roger Christie used to sell, or maybe does still sell, get out of jail free cards for $50 that do not get you out of jail. I'll go back and address those in a second. But those are the two main points, right? And what has come back in response to that is a whole bunch of people who are very angry at Normal saying that we don't support the religious right to use cannabis. We completely support the religious right to use cannabis because we completely support the right of anyone to use cannabis. Not that you necessarily need a religious exemption to do so. So it's a little bit odd, too, and I can't tell you how many posts and emails I received from people, very long, you know, 3,000-word write-ups of the history of the religious use of cannabis, the 5,000 years of history and how it's sacred to these religion and that religion and all the religions that came up ever, blah, 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 blah. I know. How many more times do I have to say? I know. I agree with you. I think your religion is perfectly valid from your point of view. If you believe that, that's great. And I don't see that there is any difference between you believing that and other more mainstream religions believing what they believe. They're all equal to me. I'm fine with it. I support your rights. And I do want to apologize to people who think that by my expression of my opinions on the matter, I'm somehow harming Roger Christie's case in court. It's never my intent to harm anyone's case in court. It's never my intent to pile on someone or, as one person wrote, kick someone while they're down. However, I am not going to shy away from giving my opinion or telling the truth on certain issues, regardless of who is facing charges or who might be busted. If I had to do that, if I had to sit back and hold my tongue just because someone was facing a charge somewhere in the world with regard to cannabis prohibition, I'd never be able to talk. So I can't draw that line. I have to be able to express my opinion on these issues. And again, the issues we were trying to specifically address were the possibility of success of a religious use case in the courts and the issuance of $50 cards for getting out of jail free. That was the only thing we wanted to address. That you believe what you believe is great. That the government doesn't allow you to use your sacrament is a travesty. We all agree there. I think we can all come together and agree on those things. But I did want to give some of my opinion on my religious views, because as I mentioned in my writings, and I thought it was fair to mention, you know, full disclosure, I'm an atheist. I do not have a God. I do not believe in a God system. I do not have a religion. And so to me, when you're starting to talk about getting a special religious use exemption for the right to use cannabis, to me, it actually sounds like a First Amendment violation. Now follow me on this one. Follow me on this one. In certain religions, they believe that cannabis is a sacrament. So you are arguing that because you believe this, because you think God said that you need to use this thing, you shouldn't be put in a jail cell. The other side of that coin is that since I don't, I should. Since I don't believe in a God, I should be put in a cell for my cannabis use. Either cannabis is dangerous to all of us, and we should all be locked up for it, or it's not dangerous to any of us, and we shouldn't be locked up for it. That's the point I'm trying to make. The First Amendment to the Constitution says Congress shall not respect an establishment of religion, nor prohibit the free exercise thereof. Right? Not respect an establishment of religion. So to me, when you're saying person A doesn't go to jail because they have a religion, and person B does go to jail because they don't have a religion, that's government respecting an establishment of religion. Now, these are my opinions, not official normal opinions. But I think, I'm pretty consistent about this too. There's certain Native American religions that you're allowed to have eagle feathers, whereas if I have them, I go to jail. There are certain religions where you're allowed to take peyote with your ceremonies, but if I do, I go to jail. Right? There's certain religions, natives that are allowed, Alaskan natives that are allowed whaling privileges. There are certain Northwest Indians that are allowed salmon fishing privileges that if I tried to exercise, I'd go to jail. I'm against those too. I'm consistent. In fact, I don't even think In God We Trust should be on our money. Because to me, that's saying that as an atheist, I'm wrong. I mean, for those of you who have trouble getting around that, imagine if it said, there is no God on our money. Would that be okay? No, I wouldn't accept that either. But again, these are my positions, and so I want everyone to understand where I'm coming from here and how it sounds to me when you say that your invisible sky wizard said that you can have marijuana and not go to jail for it, but I have to go to jail for it. I should not be forced to have a religion to stay out of jail. That's the point I'm getting to. Now, in this argument, a lot of people bring up the medical marijuana fight. Well, Russ, why would you fight for medical users to have a special card that keeps them out of jail and not fight for religious users? Oh, even though I do, I fight for everyone to stay out of jail. And the reason is this, is because there is a difference between want to and need to. When they look at a medical marijuana patient, they need to use marijuana, and it is demonstrable by science and in a court of law that they need to use the marijuana. We can show, we can prove they will die or suffer without their medical marijuana. And as differs from the religious use cases, we didn't try – well, actually, we did. We did try to get medical use recognized as an existing right. We tried all sorts of affirmative defense arguments. We tried all sorts of rescheduling petitions and arguments to the DEA and arguments to the courts, and none of those made it. The only thing that actually did work was changing the law, using all that time and energy to create a new law, to get people together behind a new initiative to change the law and to create a recognized right for medical use. Those people have a need to use. And that's why the rest of us cannabis consumers stood back and said, okay, you know, you're right. None of it, nobody deserves to go to jail for marijuana, but the patient should be at the front of the line because they need to use marijuana. The rest of us just want to. And sorry, religious users, yours is a want to excuse. Yours is a want to reason. You want to use the sacrament because you chose to believe in that religion. You were not born with a condition. You were not born with or you did not suffer an accident, right? This came through your own choice to believe a certain religion. You want to use marijuana. Now, I know they will argue back at me and say, no, we have to use marijuana. We need to use marijuana. Our God prescribes, or our God says so. We have to use it. But that's the problem, is that doesn't have any evidence behind it. You can show evidence that men over history have said that God says you need to use cannabis. You cannot show testimony from God himself. You cannot subpoena God to the stand to make good on that commandment. It is a want-to reason. And as such, your want-to reason is no more valid than my want-to reason. I want to use marijuana because I find it a source of inspiration. I want to use marijuana because it relaxes me at the end of the day. I want to use marijuana because it gives me creativity. And religious users want to use it because they commune with God, because it is the sacrament, because it feels holy, because they become closer to the spirit, whatever. They're all want-to reasons. And again, back to the notion of government not respecting an establishment of religion or treating us differently whether we have religion or not, there are religions that have sacraments. I mean, the Catholics have their wine sacrament, but Russ the Atheist is not prevented from buying wine. My Mormon family back in Idaho, back when they were Mormon, they used to have bread, you know, as the body of Christ, and that was your sacrament. But Russ the Atheist is not prevented from buying sourdough bread or whatever flavor of bread. There are charismatics in Appalachia who find it holy to handle snakes, but it is still legal for Russ the Atheist to get a snake. So what I'm saying here, and this again, this is going to, you know, cause all sorts of controversy, because I'm saying that not only is a religious right to use cannabis unfairly mistreating the people who don't believe in that religion, the religious right to use ayahuasca or peyote is unfairly treating those of us who don't believe in those religions too. But again, I'm not going to argue to say that we should take that away from those people. And I'm not going to argue to say the people that believe in the religious use of cannabis shouldn't press their fight and go forward with it. But can you at least understand why I'm not so keen on getting involved in that fight? Because if that fight is one for religious use of cannabis, Russ the Atheist still goes to jail. Or Russ the Atheist is forced to have to profess a love for a God that he doesn't believe in. And that's just as unfair as if we set it up and said that you have to renounce your God to use cannabis. Imagine if the shoe were on the other foot and only secular uses of cannabis were allowed. And you have to renounce any religiosity before you're allowed to use ganja. Would that be right? No, of course not. So I understand the people that have this religious right, this religious belief, and that they want to use cannabis, and they want to use that sacrament. And all Alan and I were ever trying to say is, we're for you. We think you should be able to use cannabis for any want-to reason you want. But the path to getting there is not through trying to carve an exception through First Amendment and Religious Freedom Acts and all of that. The path is to put that time and energy and money into legalizing marijuana for all of us, either repealing the prohibitionary laws that exist now or enacting new laws that recognize everyone's right to use cannabis. So many people have come back to me in this debate and say, why are we dividing? Why are we separating into all these different groups? I'm not the one who's separating. It's the people who say that only religious use should be protected who are separating. It's the people who say only medical use should be protected that are separating. Normal has always stood for everybody having the right to use cannabis, and we always will. That was fun. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. We'll stay tuned in hour two. We'll talk a little bit more about it. I'll tell you about lemon sherbet and what that all means. And some fun voicemails. Thanks for joining us for Ganja John for Cannabis Carry. I'm Radical Russ. Be back tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
We love it.
We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live. The voice of the marijuana nation.
Hang it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.